Levine. This is a story I covered today. From the sandy beach of Cape Canaveral, I'm trembling with excitement. Just a matter of a couple minutes away. Part 2, the second range program of Project Mercury. That's man's space program of the National Aeronautics and Space System. MR2, she's a red team. 1 mile off toward the lower tip of Cape Canaveral, and a big fat monster she is, 8 feet in length. Conventional redstone rocket. Because she's carrying up on her nose a 2,000-pound space capsule. On space capsule, they've got a passenger. It's a little fella. He's only about 3 feet tall. He's a chimpanzee. He's called number 65. The 75 chimpanzees that was 2 years at Holloman Air Force Base for this moment. Six of those chimpanzees came here 3 weeks ago to Cape Canaveral to the missile testing site. And of those six, they selected number 65 at 8 o'clock last night. He weighs only 37 and a quarter pounds, and he's strapped into a little silver plexiglass case. He's in that space, and a lot of electrical wiring attached to his body is going to measure his every physical reaction to the tremendous pressure that he's going to be subjected to very shortly. A small army of newsmen standing by. All eyes focused on the big redstone rocket, about 6,555 feet away, something slightly more than a mile. There has been a series of several annoying delays. Actually, the big job of covering this launch started, for me at least,
to another inquiry. The chimpanzee has not been working in the capsule during the hold.
All right, about those delays. The chimpanzee and your reporter began work, both of us, at 1 o'clock this morning when he was roused from his sleep and I from mine to come out here to the launching site. The chimp has been laced into the space pod and he's been practicing working at a little make-believe control panel. He flips levers in response to signals that he gets from a series of colored lights. Those colored lights are green, blue, and white. Red, white, and blue. The patriotic colors, but he works. But for the past couple of hours, he has not been working. As the announcement came to us over the PA system, he's been resting because he's been in that capsule since, been several hours now. That dates back to about 5 o'clock this morning, at 4 minutes after 5. They closed him in the capsule. He's been laying in there ever since, and for the past several hours he has not been working. An announcement, they're asking all the newsmen on the top of this big platform to stop moving around because it shakes the big wooden platform on which we're all standing, and there's a lineup of about 30 long-barreled telescopic cameras focused on that rocket off in the distance. The countdown has been resumed after, maybe 3 or 4 delays of any consequence. It's been on again, off again, a half dozen times, but 4 long delays. At one time, they took several dozen of the reporters on a guided tour of Cape Canaveral's missile testing sites to see some of the other rockets on the pads around the Big Island. They've been killing time that way. The weather? Just about perfect for a rocket launch, so there's a trace of thin, filmy cloud in the sky here and there, but for the most part, it's brilliant blue and a typically Florida sky. The sun blazing down, it's actually hot for the first time in several days. They began preparing the redstone rocket under the glare of bright lights early this morning, and when they moved the big gantry crane away, everybody thought that it was going for sure. 3 minutes yet to go, they thought, and so did I, that it would blast off at the expected hour of 8 o'clock this morning. We've been waiting hour after hour after hour in the hot sun ever since through all those annoying delays. So has the chimp. So have a lot of scientists in the blockhouse. So have the 7 astronauts who are here as observers. Actually, 6 of them are here. One's out of town at St. Louis on a training mission. Less than 3 minutes yet to go. And there she sits. The gantry crane had been moved back around the redstone rocket to repair it. During one of those delays, the gantry crane's been moved away. away. It's some several hundred yards off to the right as I look at the Redstone rocket. And the Redstone is poised like a slim pencil off in the distance with that space capsule up on its tip. It looks like an inverted television tube, sort of pear-shaped, with the big fat round part on the bottom down on the 2 minutes to go in the countdown. The fat part of that television tube-shaped space capsule down toward the Redstone rocket on which it rests. Now they hope to be able to shove that big rocket about 115 miles up into the air, arc it over in a ballistic curve, and send it 290 miles down the Atlantic Missile Testing Range into the South Atlantic. It should come down in the water somewhere off Bahama Island, where a fleet of retrievement vessels are now on patrol, watching this shot by radio and radar beacons. They'll track it every inch of the way and hope to fish it out of the water. Here comes a jet over that's got two of the astronauts in it. The pilot is Donald Slayton, and an observer with him is Walter Sherratt. They're in an F-106 fighter plane, and they're going to chase that rocket into the air as it goes up. 60 seconds to go. Standing beside me and just about as excited as I am is our Washington reporter, Sid Davis. 60 seconds, and we should see this baby routinely. The Redstone rocket climbs slowly with on a thick. There goes the countdown.
30 seconds.
30 seconds to go.
25.
25 seconds to go. Boy, it's tense here. What excitement. They've stopped the countdown at 14 seconds to go. They're counting again. 9, 8,
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
There it goes. She's up. It's a launch. Wow. Boy. Flame blasting out of the tail, a big cloud of dust on the, and straight up. Listen to it. Look at that baby go. Thousands of feet up into the sky already. A roar, what a fantastic, what a... Boy, right past the sun. High, it has the impression of peeling off to the left. Big plume of white smoke. There she goes. Still trailing a long telltale plume of white smoke. I wonder what it's like inside that thing for that 37-pound chimpanzee. Subjected to 11 times the weight of gravity. You figure it out. 11 times 37, that's what that chimpanzee weighs right about now. When he gets to the top of that arc high in the sky, he'll be weightless. Literally floating around inside that cabin if he weren't lashed down inside his little silver space pod. Winds are twisting that white plume of smoke into a curlicue pattern. No report yet on whether or not it's a good launch.
Here's an announcement.
Here's an announcement. Can you hear it?
Following is the release from NASA.
NASA.
State it slowly.
They're dictating it so we can copy it down. This may be the announcement of whether or not it was a successful launch. Boy, she's high in the sky and out of sight now. All you can see is the plume of white smoke in its trail. Now being whipped around by the high altitude wind in a spiral curlicue wake.
The release
follows. Here's the release, the announcement from NASA.
Project was launched in a suborbital ballistic trajectory at 11:55 a.m. Eastern Standard Time here today. Paragraph. The test conducted by the National Aeronautics and Space Administration is the second designed to qualify a production version of the spacecraft in the environment of space, utilizing a Redstone as the launch vehicle. Paragraph. The chimpanzee is included in today's test to qualify the spacecraft environmental control system and aeromedical instrumentation.
Apparently they're not going to tell us what it is we most want to know, whether or not that baby is following the proper path as she goes up in what they call a suborbital flight. That's the same arcing curve that any thrown or hurled object follows, from a bullet to a pebble. It'll go up, and at the top of that curve, some 115 miles up, that little chimpanzee will be weightless. He'll arc out and travel downrange, some 290 miles, where recovery craft are now circling around in the ocean, tracking the space vehicle by radar and by radio waves, hoping to be able to fish that capsule out. Now, after it reaches the apogee of the curve, just beyond the highest point, that rocket will separate from the space capsule.